out there, everybody, and welcome to the Caffeination 228, the 228th episode of the Caffeination here. Heading on into the can, makes a really nice clanking sound as it heads on down in there. We have a ton of content for you today on today's show. This is the sick of it edition. If you haven't been able to guess by my voice, which I can't really tell if it's giving it away or not, you might have been able to tell from the last episode. I'm actually still sick, feeling a little bit better than I was on Thursday, but I took a real bad, nasty turn for the worst on Friday and managed to get through Saturday. And hopefully I think we're on the back end of this whole illness thing here. I had a fever somewhere over 102 on Friday night, and luckily I cleared it up enough to actually attend a wonderful wedding on Saturday. And in the vein of that, talking about that, wish all the best to Johnny and Blanca. It was a beautiful wedding, beautiful ceremony and reception, and wish you only the best heading forward from here. Alright, with all of that being said, this is, of course, the Caffeination Podcast, the high-octane world of tunes and tech, coffee and all things caffeine. No tunes on today's show. Couldn't find anything to really sum up my mood that was actually still both pod-safe and profanity-free at this point in time, because I've just been frustrated at every little turn by everything I tried to do today. So we're going to just try and hope that this works out this episode. On today's episode, you're going to hear about any and all the following things: steampunk, WordPress, Metallica, Red versus Blue, the utensils, or just utensils in general, rather, and bikes. Just kind of a fun little mix of really strange stuff from all over the podosphere, all over the technology and caffeine culture sections on the interwebs. It's been kind of a fun, kind of cool time here. I'm going to do my best to try and cut out any and all like massive coughing fits from the show. Hopefully I'll actually be able to get through 30 minutes of uninterrupted talk, but I can feel that my voice is already a little bit strained here, so we're going to hope that this works out. All right, first up, before we get on into the real meat and potatoes of today's show, I wanted to tell you about an article we wrote a little bit ago. It's on WordPress tweaking. I've had a lot of people ask me questions, and this specifically came from a request by somebody who was looking for information on Twitter, Jay Martinez. He wanted to know a little bit about how to tweak the permalinks, tweak the actual permanent link that your WordPress blog shows at the very top, so that instead of saying caffeination.com/?= and then a number, you know, how do you tweak it so that it actually shows up whatever you would like? So you could have it show like part of the title, you could have it show the category, you know, there's a whole bunch of different things you can do, and that's called that's permanent permalink migration. And when it comes to WordPress SEO or search engine optimization, it's a lot easier for search engines and for humans to actually understand what it is when you're looking at something. So, for instance, if you're looking at the article for that, it's caffeination.com/tech/no2wordpress-tweaking and then 641. And the idea behind that is that anybody looking at that link knows pretty much around what that is. You know, they know that, okay, that's an article that's about tech, and it's under the No 2 series, and it's about WordPress tweaking. Okay, I understand, and I'm going to click on that. I'm going to go and play around. That's interesting. That's kind of cool, kind of fun at the same point in time. So, you know, the entire article deals with the trouble that I personally faced when I wanted to change from the old set of permalinks that we had here at the Caffeination Podcast about a year ago to the new set that I was going to move to about right around the same time, about a year ago. I found this awesome plugin called Dean's Permalink Migration, because if I change the permalinks without using this plugin, you wouldn't be able to find any articles I linked to, you know, previously. So my last, I don't know, at that point in time, it was something like 130 episodes would have all been orphaned. Like, you would have been able to get to them under the new system, but if I had sent somebody a link and they went back to look at it in their email, the link would have been worthless. That's just not good business. So, you know, if you have a WordPress blog and you were looking to change around the actual the permalink structure for something like that, don't want to get too technical on here on today's show, but just want to kind of point you over to that as hopefully a useful little thing. And every time somebody asks me a question or something like that, I'm going to try and pass the answer to you along, and also maybe write an article up there, and hopefully that, you know, help spread the wealth a little bit around. I did have to tell you one thing. I am actually sick of it. Before we get into the actual real meat and potatoes of today's show, I did want to tell you that, first of all, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, and this is a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about that, what that means, head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com. This, of course, is the Caffeination Podcast, lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That, of course, coincidentally enough, is caffeination.com. And if you'd like to send us comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you dare to dream, please send that to caffeination@gmail.com. We have a fun phone number that lovingly sits at the bottom of all of our posts. That's 215-240-1319. Or you can just send us a Skype voicemail at thecaffeination. That's our Skype username. I'm not on all the time, but usually, you know, the voicemail is active, so, you know, that's a fantastic way to get in touch with us as well. All right, the thing that kind of bugged me recently that I had to say something about, I have been an on-again and off-again fan of cycling, you know, the Tour de France and stuff like that, and I really enjoyed, you know, watching them on TV, really enjoy following them, and it's, I guess partially because, you know, there was a very prominent American in the field for the longest period of time, you know, Lance Armstrong, and I was always very proud of the fact that, you know, he said that he was, you know, doping-free and everything like that, and I never wanted to think that there might be a chance that he could have been doping. And that there's an ad that's running on Engadget right now, and it's running on a couple of other things, where he's shilling for this product that's like a supplement. And you know what? I've seen, you know, athletes shill him for stuff like vitamin water and different things like that, but for some reason, when I see Lance Armstrong, I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, athletes don't take supplements, they don't take stimulants and stuff like that during training regimen and stuff like that. But I think if I was a person like Lance Armstrong who had that kind of checkered history, I don't think I would want to shill for any kind of supplement, no matter how benign it might actually be. I just wanted to kind of get that off my chest because it really, really has been irritating me. And it just shows you his face there, and it's like this orange background, and I don't know, it's some kind of like caffeine or it's some kind of like energy boosting supplement, and everything, of course, is quote unquote all natural. But really, if it was all natural, wouldn't I be able to pick it off a tree at this point? But all right, now just that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to kind of get it off my chest. If you have something to say about it, please feel free to leave a comment or, you know, feedback. Like I said, you know, it's just one of those things that's kind of been bugging me lately. I had to kind of talk about. All right, in the Real News Bites section, we have a couple little stories and one little clip from another fun source that I hope you enjoy. We have a bunch of tech cruft and a little bit of caffeine and food information to send you on out your way. Like I said, there's no PodSafe music on today's show because I couldn't find something good and fun to spin around, and this might actually end up being a shorter show than usual. Just might be more close to 30 minutes as opposed to 35. You know, the extra 5 minutes might actually help me be able to talk in my day job tomorrow, and that's always good. All right, but first up here in Real News Bites, time to buy the White Album again, as was once famously stated in the movie Men in Black. There's a new storage media coming out. It's called the Tapestry 300R. It's a holographic storage solution. The funny thing is, the more things change, the more they stay the same. This holographic storage solution has, you know, looks all fun and spiffy and interesting and everything, and I'm looking at it, and it looks a lot like old tape drives. It looks a lot like the CD drives when they first came out, and you needed the carousel to actually put the CD, or the little jewel case to actually put the CD in before you could load it in there. So I mean, it's kind of funny. Here's the problem: the price point for this thing, this big boxy drive, is $18,000. Now I've bought drives in work, and I've done other things where, you know, it's like a $6,000 tape system where it's, you know, they're talking like high density archival purpose backup solutions. And then you're looking even further, and okay, each tape itself can only hold 300 gigs of data, and it's $180 per tape. Let me tell you that there are tapes out there that can hold 400 gigs of data, and they're probably only like $60 or even less. I mean, I'm just kind of generalizing here because I haven't had to buy tapes in a little while, but I understand this is a new technology, and I understand that things are going to come down in price, and that the information density is going to go up rather rapidly. And when they first put forth this idea of holographic storage and everything, they were talking about terabytes of data at times. You know, saying you were going to be able to throw a terabyte of data on there, and it was going to be lickety split. And it kind of got me to thinking about an awesome web series that I've been following since probably the second season that it came out. It's called Red vs. Blue. It's not safe for work normally. I do have an edited clip of audio that explains a little bit about obsolescence that I hope you'll enjoy. It's a little bit of a derivation from the standard fare here at the Caffeination, so I just thought you might find this fun, and hopefully you'll bear with me. This clip, of course, is all cleaned up and everything, but if you want to find more of this stuff, head on over to redversusblue.com, and this is a couple of the guys talking a little bit about obsolescence, so here you go.
Once again, you boneheads have screwed up everything!
Sarge, did you just skate in here on a pair of robot vacuums?
Don't be ridiculous, sons! These are robot vacuum smartphones! You see, the answer to today's overabundance of technology isn't fewer useless gadgets, it's more useless features and fewer usable gadgets!
What?
And of course it plays MP3s! Everything's gotta play MP3s, except your MP3 player! It now plays MP4s, because everybody knows MP3s are a dead technology! There are generations Betamax, and the next generation's Blu-ray!
What? Blu-ray just came out! It can't be obsolete already!
Nonsense! Being released to the public is what makes technology obsolete! The only way to stay ahead of the curve is to invest in products that don't exist, and hopefully never will. Like the eye plunger, or the Nintendo Nut. Anyway, everybody knows this year's Blu-ray is gonna be Red Ray.
What about HD DVD?
Bad marketing. Not enough repeated letters in the name to be catchy. So it's being replaced with HHDDBBDDBBs.
But Sarge, wouldn't life just be easier if we didn't have these format wars?
Of course not, moron. War is always a good thing.
But what about all the confusing multiple standards?
Griff, you know I'm a firm believer in double standards.
And so am I. See, all the huge rant that I was going to do about, pushing technology out there and having the multiple standards and everything coming out, all of that was kind of summed up in that fun little clip. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Again, if you want to find out more about that, you can head on over to redversusblue.com or just do a search for them. Those guys over there run a hilarious strip. They have a comic up there now. They're working on some new content, so it's really fun. It's kind of a machinima stuff, so it's all done through the world of Halo 3, and some of their other projects use different video games as well, but it's all acted out and incredibly well done. So yeah, head on over there and check that out. And I got to actually treat myself to buying the five seasons of Red vs. Blue with some of my birthday money, and that's coming sometime in the next week, so that's going to be fantastic. I've been holding off buying the DVDs because, you know, I was like, I don't know if I wanted it or anything, but the more I kept watching it, the more I kept listening to it, I was like, I have to have this. This is a fantastic series. They're hilarious. I laugh my rear end off every time I watch even the smallest of clips, so I owe it to them to support them for all the bandwidth that I've wasted of theirs over the year. Hopefully, you know, maybe a couple of you guys will head on over there and check it out and enjoy it that much that you'll buy something like that. So it's really funny. Again, not safe for work all the time, but a lot of the humor that I enjoy isn't necessarily safe for work. So, all right. The last little thing that we have here in the Real News Bites section is actually an article that you're going to find, hopefully, as ironic as I do. We're all very well aware of Radiohead's success and Nine Inch Nails' very popular, Trent Reznor specifically, Nine Inch Nails' very popularized success releasing the music direct to their, to their listeners, for free. And then offering them value-added features, offering them the ability to pay for it. Nin has already come out and said that they have made at least $1.6 million in revenue off of their last release, which is insane because it's like through very little overhead on their part. They didn't have to ship any CDs anywhere where they weren't going to get bought. They didn't have any middlemen that they were dealing with. Almost all of the money that you were giving to Nine Inch Nails was going direct to Trent Reznor. Well, apparently another rather venerable band has come out and said, you know, they might be interested in giving this a shot, and that would be Metallica. Yeah, Metallica. The same band who came out there and threw an absolute hissy fit about people getting stuff for free in Congress and shut Napster down. Now, look, I'm not, supporting the file sharers in this case, and not that I actually think that the file sharers really put a big dent in the revenue. I think it was more along the lines of, it kind of it kind of broke the system down to a certain extent where we started to realize how much money the record companies themselves were making off the artists and how very little money was actually making its way through to the artists. So now Metallica has kind of smelled money, crawled out from whatever rock they were under and say that, you know what, we are all about the fans right now. And that they might actually end up doing a pay what you want or a free release. And you know what, I honestly have mixed reviews about whether or not I would buy an album from them. I mean, I really love their music up to this point. I have a lot of their albums, and, you know, they're just a good hard rock and fun band to listen to. But at the same point in time, because of the damage that they did to intellectual property rights, just by bringing their case forward in the way that they did, you know, by the damage that they've done to the space as a whole, and the mark that they've left on it, in just in general, it's kind of hard to turn around and say, oh yeah, you know what, here's $5 for your album now. I mean, I'm going to give it a consideration, and I might actually end up doing it. But, you know, there was a fun article over at Slashdot that was kind of trying to engender that kind of information, trying to start up this kind of a discussion there, and I support that. I think, you know, this is a kind of discussion that really should be looked into a little bit further, you know? And it's basically because, you know, because of what they did, do they deserve to profit off this new method? I mean, yeah, if it's new content, if it's new music, okay, I understand that. You know what? I'm waiting for the band to a band out there to release their back catalog. You know, try and find a successful band like Nine Inch Nails or something like that. If they, for instance, do control their masters, which I don't think they actually do. I think the record companies still do. You know, release that stuff to the public domain, you know, in the same kind of format and see what kind of revenue you would get. Because a lot of this stuff is, you know, kind of new and it's off the beaten path, and you know, the last the Ghosts 1-4 was a really fantastic album, but it was all instrumental. It's not what people came to, you know, a lot of the more diehard fans, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, you know, this is kind of interesting. And a lot of the people who really support free music online were like, okay, this is interesting, I think I'd like to support it. But a lot of the more casual observers were looking at it and going, yeah, but there's no closer, there's no hook to pull me in, there's no very well known song that I'm going to hear on the radio, because that album got no play on the radio, which is kind of sad. So all right, that about wraps it up for the Real News Bites here. Kind of a little heavy-handed, little lighthearted, all at one thing. Hopefully you enjoyed that. All right, first up, a couple of little one-offs here. First is the steampunk R2-D2. Just a little visual representation of what it would look like if kind of like a kegerator, a beermeister, and a coffee press looks like they all got together and tried to collaborate into what an R2-D2-like object would be. Looks kind of like a beer barrel with a bunch of fun little medical pressure gauges all over it. I think it's more in the spirit of R2-D2. I don't think it's necessarily as functional as the real R2 would be. I think it would be kind of interesting to see more of that kind of realization of it, because you know, R2 had all these kind of fun little gadgets that popped out of him and can do all kinds of fun things. I'd like to see how that would be realized in a steampunk kind of fashion. All right, now the next little thing that we have up here is just a kind of one-off again. It's called the Mono Wheel, and it's an idea by a design studio in Tokyo that came out that basically is, you know, a different way of creating a bicycle, that you are inside the wheel, and it's a recreation of somewhat of an older concept out there. But one of the things that they said many have tried, but the basic layout hasn't changed since the Stark Rover safety bicycle of 1885. So that is to say that the basic shape and contour and function of a bicycle, the same two-wheeled bicycle that you have probably seen going down the street, really hasn't changed all that much in form or function since 1885. You know, it brings back another discussion about the fact that the automobile, other than having, you know, closed-in wheels and a roof over everybody's head, the Model T really hasn't changed that much all either. You know, the internal combustion engine hasn't moved beyond its foundation all that much. Pretty much a lot of the hard and fast, tried and true members of everyday use of technology haven't really changed too much from their basic forms other than things like the computer. And it's kind of interesting to see, you know, as a member of new media and as a member of the workforce that is out there to support these things, it's really kind of fun to see how different technology has become, you know, from its rather a humble beginning. So I just kind of wanted to throw it out there. And speaking of throw it out there, there are a lot of people are trying to cash in on this, you know, the green craze that's out there, the eco-friendly and the help Mother Earth and save the environment. Yes, those are all well and noble concepts, but they're producing a lot of crap products. And two of the ones that they're talking about over at D-Vice are these things that actually crush toothpaste tubes for you to allow you to use all of the toothpaste that's in there. You know, these are not exactly eco-friendly gadgets. I mean, they do help you use all the toothpaste that's in the toothpaste tube. However, there's another fun thing. It's called the edge of your sink. If you hold the toothpaste tube there and then just kind of pull downwards and add like a 90-degree angle in there, you're going to squeeze all the toothpaste up towards the front of the tube anyway. Or yet, better yet, if you're going to try and be really green and eco-friendly, why don't you use baking soda instead of toothpaste? It does just as good of a job, if not better. That's why they're adding it into some baking soda now. And you don't need fluoride if you live in most municipalities that are out there, because they include fluoride in the drinking water. Now, of course, there's a lot of conspiracy theories as to why that might be. But, you know, it's the toothpaste is fluoridated. Heck, my water's fluorinated. I don't really need the toothpaste at this point. So I just wanted to kind of throw it out there. And, you know, that's the kind of product that we need to steer clear of in this new green revolution. We don't want everybody jumping on to the bandwagon with all the tiny little products that don't really do very much. And next little thing's kind of another little one-off I found. I told you I am all over the place right now. I just found a bunch of strange little articles that I had to talk about. They had a bunch of fun little pictures about the horrors that somebody can see on the inside of their computer. And you know what? I'm going to start documenting the computers that I see in work. And yeah, I know our computers are sitting right next to the wood shop, and a lot of them have a lot nastier of an environment that they're playing in. But, you know, these really aren't that bad, that the pictures that they're showing, but that's not what I came to talk to you here about today. I wanted to tell you, if you want your computer, specifically your laptops, because they're much more prone to having these kind of heat failure issues, if you want your computer to act and function better, how about this? Every 6 months to a year, pop the cover off and use the vacuum ever so gently with the brushes and suck all the dust out. Don't leave your computer under your desk with a boxed-off back end. That's making the computer inefficient. You want to have nice airflow from front to back, because if you feel around behind most standard desktops, there's a nice, big, strong, warm breeze flowing out the back end. The more room you have on the back end, on the hot end of the computer, the more space beyond that, the more efficiently the machine can expel the hot air and cool down the air around the machine, so the air in the front of the machine as it gets drawn in is colder, so that it can do its job better by cooling the components on the inside. So, you know, you might want to pull the computer out from under the desk, put it up on top of your desk, move it around, or, you know, especially clean out the fans on the inside of your computer, because it's going to make it run a little bit better. You know, you use the canned air and the compressed air on the laptops to blow out all the different grates and this stuff like that, and it'll really help your computer actually function a lot better and run cooler even. So that's kind of a little one-off for no apparent reason other than I found a fun little picture gallery online. I do really apologize for the wheezing that's going on in between some of these clips here, but I can definitely feel my voice going out on the back end here, so we're rapidly approaching the end of my useful nature here on the Caffeination today. They have a fun little hand charger that they were talking about on D-Vice. This is a hand crank USB power charger. Now, I kind of like this. This is really kind of neat, because it's much smaller scale than a lot of the other stuff that's out there, and it uses a rather universal power port there. It doesn't have the standard. I have a feeling that the USB jack itself is going to become as ubiquitous as that 12-volt cigarette lighter jack is on cars. That's what it seems to be. All mobile components and all mobile, like, cooking appliances have that standard little, air freshener, cigarette lighter, rather, adapter jack. And that's kind of a standard across all vehicles and everything like that. All computers have USB ports, 1.0 or 2.0. They all provide a rather steady stream of power. So it's kind of interesting to see that, you see them migrate onto things such as this super battery, where it's a hand crank, and you're going to quickly find out if you're going to use these things, especially if you read the article over there. I mean, it's only $40, so you got to love that, and it has a flashlight attachment on it so that you can actually use it as a flashlight at the same point in time. But it's kind of cool because you really realize how much effort it actually takes to create energy. So I just wanted to kind of pass that along, and hopefully you found that interesting. And then since I threw out the one article, which I really didn't think was worth your money, I decided to head out and find another thing, which I actually think is probably a really good use of your money. There's an interesting little USB hub. Now, it takes a lot for me to talk about a USB hub on the Caffeination. Why? Because a lot of the USB hubs that are out there are utter trash. They're not really worth your time. Because, they're just the standard little block sitting on your desk with the four USB ports coming out. And, ooh, this one has USB 2.0. And, it has the one standard little plug on the inside. No, this is something completely different. This is a tiny little rotating turret for your USB, and it has seven ports on it. That's correct. So in addition to the plug on the back end, there's eight ports one way or another. So you're using the one to plug it into the power source there, and then you have seven other ports for which to charge things, which to use accessories and stuff like that. So if you have a MacBook Air, I'm pretty sure you're going to need something along the size of this, because you need to have all your gadgets plugged in. But looking at it, it takes into account one of the biggest engineering constraints and one of the biggest physical problems with most USB hubs. A lot of the USB keys and USB devices out there do not have standard equipment around the plug. The only thing that they have standard is the actual plug going in. They don't take into account the fact that some of them have really fat and chunky casings around them, and some of them have really tiny, small, and svelte casings around them. So you can't always necessarily put two USB devices in next to each other without breaking one of them. So this takes that into account with a fully rotating, I guess it has a 90 degree angle rotation between each one of the ones of the four on the right hand side and the three on the left. And I think the entire thing kind of folds up into a tiny little cube. So it's kind of cool, and all that for only $18. So I thought that was kind of fun. I thought I'd pass it along to everybody else out there. All right, up next we have the caffeine and food section. Not a lot of coffee stuff floating around the interwebs lately, so I just decided to pick some fun utensils, some fun little stories that I found out there that have some kind of relation to food or beverages or stuff like that, and then I pass them along to you, and we'll head out on our way. First up here, Off the Grid Week ran down to a close over at Device, and kind of in celebration, he found a gadget that allowed him to cook a marshmallow through the power of the sun. He used a tiny little convex mirror and a little fork that was stuck in the middle of it, and managed to cook a marshmallow. So it's kind of funny to see, that's an old Boy Scout trick. You can use a magnifying glass to do the same thing, kind of in reverse. But it's kind of funny, and so it was only 67 degrees when he started, and he was able to actually, cook the marshmallow, and that was kind of fun and cool. But what drew my attention to the actual story more so than the cooking of the marshmallow, although that's what it got it into the caffeine and food section, was that in the comments, you really have to head on over there to read it. There is a huge smackdown that goes back and forth, from one side to the other, between the people who run Device and the people who donated one of the pieces of equipment they used during the week, who weren't happy with the amount of time that they spent reviewing it. And they seemed to misunderstand the idea behind the off-the-grid, week, that the guy was trying to live off, without plugging into the municipal power grid. He wasn't there to review all the different products other than the fact that did they allow him to do so or did they not. So I kind of really, sympathize and empathize, rather, with the guys over at Device, because, it was kind of taken out of context, and the guy, I understand from the small businessman aspect of things, you have to defend your product, you want it to always be seen in the best light, and you don't necessarily have an unlimited budget out there to be able to just sort of give units out to everybody, and every unit that doesn't give you the most return on the investment for you putting it out there really kind of damages you on a whole. But, by being so sensitive, it kind of put their company across in a bad light. And I don't want to talk about the company one way or another. I just want to kind of point you over there. I mean, this is kind of, bystanding. It's kind of like looking at the whole thing and saying, man, that was a horrible little smackdown that they had there. They seemed to kind of come to a conclusion, come to an amicable meeting of the minds halfway through the comments, and they kind of resolved it. And I'm really kind of happy that they left everything there. Because it's kind of like reading the letters to the editor in the newspaper week after week, and you start to say, oh man, I can't wait to see what somebody writes back to this. But it's a lot quicker. I love that about the internet, All right, moving right along. You will never find one of these in my house, but I could see this ending very badly for a whole lot of other households out there. This is a utensil dartboard. The idea behind this is rather than waste space with drawers or whatnot, like, you too can save space and have them dry very evenly and nicely by stabbing them into a wall. Or even throwing them at the wall from across the room, because most parts of the utensils that you use have some kind of edge on them, and somehow this thing's actually built out of some kind of foam that allows it to actually stick in there and hold it. And there's all kinds of magnets that allow you to hold it on the back end. And rather than paying a measly little $4 for a piece of homosote to do the same thing, this is apparently $300. So I don't really see a use for this much beyond, the standard little dorm room thing where you're throwing the knives across to see if you can get them to stick. Because I know the people that I know, if you're trying to put the utensils away and you're not exactly in the right frame of mind, okay, I could see maybe missing and hitting into the wall, but what happens if you don't aim correctly and it bounces off and then hits somebody else? Yeah, that's not really the best part of about this. I mean, I like it as a design idea. I think it's kind of cool and kind of fun. If I walked into somebody else's house, I would definitely laugh if I saw it, but I don't really think it's a usable solution. Not even for my house, not even for, especially because we have a young kid, but not for anybody else I know, honestly. All right, next little gadget we have up here. Talk about ripping people off. Talk about taking a hand and sticking it deep into the pockets of fandom out there. There's currently a for sale your very own stainless steel Starship Enterprise bottle opener for the lovingly massive price of $24. I've seen bottle openers out there, and this is the standard little, church key style bottle opener. I feel the longer that I'm talking, the more I feel like I'm talking inside a really tight room. So this is probably going to end up being one of the most heavily edited episodes of the Caffeination in quite a while. I apologize ahead of time. Hopefully it won't be that evident, except for the fact that I'm saying this here, which I could end up editing out, but I probably won't. But I just saw this floating around. I thought this was kind of fun and kind of cool. I have a bottle opener which does the exact same function that I got for free because the place where my father worked had a surplus of these giant metal keys that were laying around, which were actually used to access the gear compartments on the bakery equipment that they were working on. In the United States, you didn't need these keys. You just put handles there, so they had a surplus of these fun keys laying around. So a lot of the people that I know actually ended up having these keys, and we all had them in high school without understanding the very useful bottle opening nature of them. And just looking at this, and it's the exact same basic function as that, except they added, instead of having the one tail where the key would be, there's two tails for the engines of the Enterprise. So it's like, with probably 5 or 10 minutes, I could end up cutting apart some of those keys and ended up coming with a little piece of memorabilia that I could end up selling for a good chunk of change. Just kind of ridiculous. At the same point in time, I thought I'd pass it along to you. And the last little bit of news we have here is I found an interesting recipe for a coffee marinade. Now, coffee isn't for steak, that is. Now, coffee's not the ingredient that actually worries me about trying this. It's getting my wife to agree to try a recipe that somehow has a steak marinating in peanut butter. So, if I get her to agree to actually try this out, and, you know, maybe even I'll just make a smaller batch up for one steak, and I'll try it myself. But I'll definitely be reporting back, and hopefully you'll find that interesting. That about all the stuff we have here for the Caffeination today. It's been a really weird episode where we haven't gone over for the first time in a long time, but I do know that I have a lot of coughing and stuff that has to get out of there, so thank you very much for listening to this. This has been Caffeination number 228. The Sick of It edition. Frankly, right now I'm sick of talking, so I should probably stop relatively shortly. But before I do that, I just want to remind you that Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, a proud Puzzle Piece production. And if you'd like to find out more about this episode or email me for comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else your mind might want to do, you can do so at caffeination@gmail.com. The podcast itself is found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Skype is the Caffeination. Phone is 215-240-1319. That about wraps it up. Thank you very much for listening and bearing through with us through this all. Stay caffeinated, people.